Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today, Kimberly Archie. She's a litigation consultant in the world of cheerleading, dance, gymnastics, the founder of the National Cheer Safety Foundation. She's returning, along with Nancy Propel, critical care nurse, attorney, and novelist. Then the sports doctor's in with some Bob Guider wisdom. You emailed Kimberly Archie. Welcome back to the sports doctor.
Well, thanks for having me.
Kimberly, give us some background in this whole world that you've been so involved in. In youth sports safety, health, cheerleading, health. Give us some of your background, please.
Well, I was a high school cheerleader, and then later I coached rec cheer, and then I became a cheer mom. And then later on, I became an official for acrobatics and tumbling, which is a discipline in gymnastics, which sort of morphed from competitive cheerleading. And I'm the founder of the National Cheer Safety Foundation, and I've been an expert witness for the last 15 years. And I worked on the legal team that took headers out of soccer for kids 10 and under.
You know, Kimberly, it's, as you know, been a key topic on the Sports Doctor for decades. The youth safety world. The concussion. I've had people all over the world discussing concussions, the challenges in all aspects of youth sports and youth sports safety. And again, the idea of these different areas, you know, some of the best athletes I've ever seen over the years are cheerleaders, which was something that surprised a lot of people to understand the real high risk, for example, that activity is, let alone the competitive gymnastics world. How are we doing and paying more and more attention and awareness and education in this whole field of youth sports safety?
Well, cheerleading's in a really unique position because a number of injured cheerleaders, you know, over the last 20 years have done an amazing job of advocating for youth athletes in regards to the type of injuries they've had, like concussions or heat illness or spinal cord injuries, things like that. And now we're seeing a wave of lawsuits against the cheerleading company across the country for sex abuse. And it's been filed in federal court. It's a RICO case. And it's now there's seven states involved at this point. So,
you know, Kimberly, whether it's the world of gymnastics and that nightmare, whether it's the latest couple of months ago, the whole world of women's youth soccer, and now you're adding to the list that, again, same topic of the sexual abuse. You child athlete abuse disorder is something also that you really, really are so involved in. It really is challenging. But we've got to be aware of what's going on.
Well, you know, the lack of regulation and oversight for the issues, including health and safety and name, image, and likeness, this exploitation of the athlete or the uneven playing field between kids and corporations generate a number of mechanisms of injury, and sex abuse is one of them.
You know, wait till we jump into the world of the NCAA, athletes getting paid, going into college, that whole side of things. And again, you know, one of the key topics of the Sports Doctor forever has been the epidemic. It's why I wrote the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharkey Zartman, epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries physically and mentally. And the idea that we're still behind when it comes to all of these important factors, you know, the world of litigation, I'm amazed. It's great that it hasn't worn you out yet, Kimberly.
Wow.
You know what I mean? How's your sports psychology doing?
It should have, but the people that have been harmed by this imbalance of power, it's, you know, their stories and what happened to them, they keep me going.
I think the awareness and education, the two words I strive all the time regarding all of these areas, are such a major, major key. I think we made great improvement in the ability to communicate between parents, between coaches, between doctors, between organizations. At the same time, there's been the difficulty sometimes in really, really facing one of the biggest problems of them all. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. If you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you go back years, you'll probably catch three or four of Kimberly's shows somewhere along the line. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, great stuff. So many different topics, everything from specialization to what's the best shoe, to the world of concussions. Great excitement with MVP and LER magazines. Still the hottest article on there, though, is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. We have thousands of followers, Twitter somehow still, and Facebook and Instagram. If you go to Sports Doc, DOC Radio, you can catch up to a lot of great information that we publish all the time. The sports organizations, the coaching organizations, the legal organizations, the insurance world, it's a blending of everything, medical world, when it comes again to the youth sports safety. And how's the cooperation been, Kimberly?
Well, I would say that for the most part, you know, the industry has their own agendas and they're focused on their profit margins and, you know, making money. So I don't know how much cooperation there's really been other than the cooperation among defendants to try to fight off liability. I mean, we're still in that phase of athletes' rights developing and them having collective power. So it's a work in progress.
Yeah, it's amazing how many different experts in so many different areas talk about the term, yeah, we're treading, you know, we say, how are we doing? We're treading water at best, you know, whether it's childhood obesity, whether it's these ranting, raving parents on the sidelines, whether it's overzealous, I call them Svengali coaches. There's so much pressure on these young athletes. That's why one of the chapters in my book is youth sports and drugs. Even over-the-counter, the reliance on, Dr. Wild, don't you understand? Her ankles are killing her unless she takes two Advil three times a day for months and months and months in so many different areas. However, I believe that the both of us and in our ways are making a difference constantly by, again, bringing awareness to these challenges. What's the best site, Kimberly, people can go to find out about you and all your work?
We're on facesofcte.com, and people can also find me on social media under Kimberly Archie.
You know, it's the first time I heard the term child athlete abuse disorder until I knew you were coming on the show. And I think this is everything, again, that we're talking about. Of course, over the past two, 3 years, everybody, wherever they are from in the world, whatever their profession or vocation is, Kimberly, they've talked about mental health, the pandemic turned the whole world of sports, youth sports, including parenting, on our heads. Child athlete abuse disorder, I would imagine, both physically and mentally, sexually. Well, how would you define it, just in general?
So child athlete abuse disorder is the win-at-all-cost mentality that allows things
Bingo.
In sport that we wouldn't allow in any other environment. So, for example, if a janitor is needing to change a light bulb and he needs to be on a ladder above, 6 feet, then there has to be a fall protection plan in place. But we allow kids to do acrobatic gymnastics without the same protections or similar protections in place.
Is that where the term student athlete was born? For work.
Well, student athlete
stuff.
Was really invented by the NCAA to skirt athletes being
yes.
employees, and then that was extrapolated and used on other, levels of play. You now hear them call high school athletes student athletes. I say it's a dirty word. It's like cussing in my world. I don't call them student athletes. I typically call them, child athletes if they're 18 and under. And I'm just going to call them college athletes to differentiate
now, your
between
work,
the two.
Yes, your work involving the helmets, was it soccer that you were involved in getting the helmets routinely?
So soccer, I worked on the case that was the concussion case, Mayer versus U.S. Soccer, and that settlement took headers out.
Are you going to get helmets for the girls in lacrosse?
I hope so.
I've had guests. We've talked about that. How are they doing with that?
There's still complete pushback, as far as I know.
Amazing.
About
from who?
Women from the industry. Now, I was there at the meeting, one of the first times that U.S. lacrosse came and asked the regulatory body, the National Operating Committee on Standards for Athletic Equipment. And, that was one of the presentations was, we need a standard for women, helmets, for female helmets. The first time I realized they didn't have standards for kids based on kids' anatomy, they had extrapolated that from adults and that they didn't have equipment based on female athletes either. It was shocking. And to this day, we really haven't gotten very far. They have tested.
Now, something that one of our colleagues, Kimberly, who's the pink concussions Snedeker, Catherine Snedeker, and the idea of that there's a whole separate world of female concussions, and the whole world of concussions. Now, awareness, treatment, all of these things at all levels has exploded, but in so many ways, this is still a huge challenge in all sports, but youth sports especially, isn't it?
Definitely, and I think that's where we're going to see things focused going forward. Starting on January 30th, I will have a YouTube channel, and I will have a coaches academy. I'm going to teach a weekly class that'll be free to coaches to combat child athlete abuse disorder, and it'll be just available to the public because we don't want to put a secret sauce or, a trademark on a legal standard of care.
Yes.
Coaches, all coaches.
Let me know, Kimberly. I'll chip in with the physical side, absolutely, of that abuse disorder, which is huge and needs
big attention.
Yeah,
I'd love
big,
to have you
attention.
On 1 week.
We'll definitely follow up on that. For sure, and the with
help
so much attention again mentally.
Yes.
How are the parents and coaches responding to this kind of new attention? I've seen an awful lot of interest in cooperation, but maybe because they're my radio guests,
trying
to look
there
at the positive
are good
side.
Examples. I think there are good examples of people who are trying to do that. Always, even in spite of the system itself not fostering.
1 minute.
Right? There are those people. That
well, we're
going
to work
through.
To change it. I knew the time would fly with you. You had a little bit. So, Kimberly, give me again the best way to find out about you and all this great work in the world, your National Cheer Safety Foundation.
National Cheer Safety Foundation.
So if they Google you or USA Sports Safety, they could find out all about your great work. And we're definitely going to have you back, because this is a topic that needs constant attention. We need all the champions we can get. And, of course, you're one of them. So I want to thank you so much for being with us, Kimberly Archery, on the Sports Doctor. Kimberly, hold on. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent, with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. Happy New Year. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, Again, live radio is always an adventure, even in 2023. So we're waiting for Nancy. And if she pops in, we'll pop right in with her. While we're waiting, I thought I'd comment on this nightmare that we saw in Monday Night Football with DeMar, the young 24-year-old football player, taking that fairly common hit and a cardiac arrest, and this major, major story involving, at the very least, that there is no safe tackle football. We've talked about it forever. It just isn't, whether it's concussions, serious physical injuries. But this was a absolute unique situation where enough force was applied at the right millisecond of time to disrupt the whole heart rhythm action and threw him into cardiac arrest. The emergency people were on top of it right away. The National Football League, they got every expert in the world, trauma centers in the area, and they were able to immediately apply CPR, then did the electric shock therapy. They brought him back from cardiac arrest. The ambulance came. It took him to the hospital. He then also had another cardiac arrest. Right now he's in critical care, hopefully slightly improving. The shock to the millions of fans and watching and the players was just really amazing to everybody who was seeing it. And with so many different discussions in so many different areas, the idea that a tackle in some way, the way it happened, was so shocking. And the for the first time, I think, maybe, in the National Football League, the game was not resumed. Nobody was going to play. But for a while, there was indecision about that. It had always been, even with serious injuries, athletes taken off in a cart for some type of spinal or concussion concern, and the game being resumed in 10 or 15 minutes. So it's just a remarkable series of events. And the re-emerging of this, again, discussion, whether it is what these professional athletes in football risk all the time, what they know their risk is, the fact that the discussion with parents and coaches with youth tackle football, what was Pop Warner football, which I don't even think should exist, the idea, when is it safe to play tackle football? And the idea is there is no safe tackle football. So what do we do about it? You know, I had a chapter in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where taking part of the second part of the book, The Sports Doctor's In, I'm talking about what's the best shoes. I'm talking about orthotics. We're talking about the importance of strengthening low extremity. But we're also talking about the question, you know, what are we going to do about youth football? And where do we come down on that? When is it safe? And the explosion over the past couple of decades of the discovery of the CTE in these professional players after their careers and the nightmare with so many of these players and the examination of the brains and the whole area, again, of brain trauma and concussion. And so if parents ask me today, you know, should my son play youth tackle football, I hem and haw, but I say to them, you know, if this is what he loves, if this is really what he loves and you understand the risks, then I don't know if I'm going to fight you forever, but I would talk differently with almost any other sport. Really, Football is really the only sport where collisions are part of it. And I think we're going to connect with Nancy as we speak. And the whole reason I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, again, was this epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries physically and mentally. And like we were just talking about, the gigantic mental side that we talk about on the sports docs all the time, I call it the mental game, or whether it is the physical injury side, and all this pressure on these kids. And hopefully if we can connect with Nancy, one of the topics we really wanted to hit on with her legal as well as critical care nurse background is parenting high performance athletes with divorced parents. Nancy!
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Nancy Propel. We got you. The fun and enjoyment of live radio. Nancy, a critical care nurse, attorney, novelist, and we really wanted to talk about the topic of parenting high-performance athletes with divorced parents. Give us a quickie background, Nancy, relating to, and then we'll talk about your thoughts on this.
My quickie background is I started my first profession as a critical care nurse, meaning I had two competencies, one in the emergency room and one in intensive care. And a real quick netting it out is I wrote a textbook, Advanced Concepts in Clinical Nursing, in 1973 with J.B. Lippincott. Many of the procedures for better patient outcomes were adopted throughout the country in various hospitals, except the hospital I worked at, because the doctors in that hospital did the protocols, not nurses. So nurses didn't suggest protocols, even if they wrote a textbook about it. In any event, talked to somebody about how do I get them to listen to me, and they said, go to law school, you'll have power. And they were right. So yes, to make a long story
that
short,
was always the contest, Nancy. There was a three-way contest. It was medicine, and it was the legal field, and it was the insurance companies. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, you're right on the money there. When I was the only woman in the law firm, and that was great fun, of course. The first day I was hired to do defense malpractice cases, 75 divorce files were piled on my desk because I was, quote, a woman, once again, a woman, and divorce is woman's work. So I became a very successful divorce attorney, and the firm that I worked for lost the contract with, and you teed this up for me, the insurance company. So I left that firm and brought with me all of my cases. My clients wanted to
go with
me.
Well, you know, Nancy, with all the challenges in youth sports, the high pressure, whether it's traveling teams, whether it's athletes and families looking for scholarships, whether it's serious kids in so many different areas, and the fact of the family unit and the idea that, again, when the parents are divorced or separated, and the kinds of challenges that some of these athletes will be dealing with falls right into the lap, again, of the legal mm-hmm. world in so many ways, mm-hmm. probably, unfortunately. I thought that was a big topic.
No, it's it's a very timely topic. January happens to be the Black Friday for divorce lawyers. Everybody waits until after the holidays to file for divorce. And every January, any divorce lawyer will tell you that's when most of the cases for the whole year come in, January and February. But you know, it's interesting.
Is that like
I have
probably
to litigate.
New Year's resolutions? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, you keep that one up too. No, actually, I had.
But
I
that
had
throws a real
this.
Monkey wrench, a real monkey wrench into the life of that young boy or girl who might be, you know, high mm-hmm. school, college athlete. Really puts tremendous pressure on these kids, also, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, there was a study by the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry recently. I'm sure your listeners are well aware that depression is an enormous problem, especially since the pandemic in youth. And many of these kids were high athletes. You know, they were really on a roll. They were, you know, either in gymnastics, football, ice hockey, whatever, basketball. And the pandemic, they didn't have the socialization. They didn't have the outlook, the output, rather, or the, you know, the distraction. And it really caused a tremendous problem with children, especially adolescents. And they came out with a paper recently that said, and they're recommending sports for children, especially pandemic babies. They learn to play fair. They learn to play as a member of a team. They get exercise. They develop physical skills. They make friends. They have fun. And it improves self-esteem. And it is a deterrent to depression. So there you go. I mean, youth sports are highly, highly recommended for all children, even if they're not really gifted. And by the way, Michael Phelps, his mother was a single mother and had to sacrifice a great deal. And look how that turned out.
Yes, with a single family, it's interesting. I've had experts on in the world of divorced, not divorced, but adopted children in the world of youth sports. And they talked about how sometimes those kids were marginalized in some way, shape, or form with the attitudes of their teammates or their coaches, you know, all of these kinds of challenges. And again, with 50%, whatever the divorce rate is, as high as it is, we're all so familiar, then it starts to put, you know, even these legal challenges regarding who's paying for what and the pressure with this. We talk a little bit more about that with Nancy Propel. We did get her here on the phone.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
live radio. It's an adventure. We'll be right back. Hold on, Nancy. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
With Nancy Propel, critical care nurse, attorney, depending on first career, second career. Now she's a novelist. And we were talking before the break, Nancy, again, about some of these challenges with these families. You know, again, mental health has become it's a gigantic, it's a big deal. The pandemic has multiplied these challenges, but also, you know, legally with separated divorced parents, with the expenses of some of these sports. We wanted to expand a little bit on some of the thoughts and hints you have with that.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. One of the biggest issues, I don't think many parents dispute the fact that sports are really a social enhancer for children. The problem is, even an intact family, the cost
sometimes becomes a real powder keg and pits the parents of a nuclear family and intact family against each other. And as you mentioned, you can imagine what this does when the parents are divorced. And, you know, the primary problem with people who get divorced is communication. You know, they don't have a communication style that matches their personalities, and they're not able to come to joint decisions. So you have that layered on a stretched budget because they're trying to survive in separate households. And then you add coaching, you know, special classes, special equipment, you know, the famous traveling, you know, traveling teams. When I was in practice, I'm retired now and writing full time. You know, I litigated that so many times because when I first started litigating, you know, that was 34, 35 years ago, there wasn't a lot of case law. I was practicing in Pennsylvania at the time, and I had to go to court a lot fighting over the traveling teams. And you had to bring the coach in, you had to bring a psychologist in. Now, the case law is pretty well founded. So you can really Google, no matter, I think you're in Illinois, but I'm sure this radio, you know, reaches other states in your vicinity. You can really Google this and find out what the law in your state is about sharing expenses, you know, when somebody is divorced and this child is a very, you know, high, prominent, potential athlete. And one of the biggest issues is trying to negotiate with the other parent when the sport takes the practice or the game takes place on the other parent's weekend. That is a real problem. So the biggest thing that you have to do is, first of all, the number one critical, the critical thing is not to involve the child. Don't tell your kid, ask your dad or mom for the track shoes. Ask your dad or mom for the football helmet or the, you know, the basketball. Please leave the kids out of it. Number one out there, this child didn't ask to be born. That was your decision to bring this child into the world. They had no say in what gender, what color, what culture, or who their parents were going to be. So, you know what? Leave the kid out of it. Make the decision with your ex-spouse or if you're separated, the separated parent. But be sensitive to the parent's need to have a bonding time with the child. Maybe if it's your priority to have your son or daughter become a great athlete, then you, maybe you're the one who's going to have to sacrifice the time. You know, on a down weekend when there's nothing going on, maybe that's the weekend
that's
you have
where
to
the
give
term,
the other
you
spouse.
You mentioned a great word. Yes, you mentioned a couple of great words, which was, you know, between these separated or divorced parents. And number one was, you know, the communication, but you mentioned the big word, negotiate. Work some of this stuff out. Discuss some of these things so that maybe we don't end up in a nightmare. Now, your experiences in these three areas, now you're a novelist. I think your upcoming novel, is that Around Which All Things Bend?
Well, actually, it's now available on Amazon. It's about relationships. And if there's a lot of communication.
It's a great title. That's a great title. That's exactly
what
we're talking about, how everything gets bending. And you've used a lot of your experiences in critical care, in the world of medicine, in the legal world, in your novels and stories. Talk a little bit about what you are paying attention to with your novel.
Well, I'm paying lots of attention to relationships. I spent, as I said, I think it was 34 years taking apart marriages. And my mission in my retirement is to try to educate people to try to keep marriages together. I think that there are a lot of marriages that really didn't have to go to divorce. And with a little help, with a little education, and a little patience, and an ability to forgive each other and overlook each other, you know, I think, it was Benjamin Franklin who said, keep your eyes wide open before marriage and half shut after marriage. And that's what you have to do. You know, you have to really know who you're marrying, what you're getting into. And, you know, once you've decided to have a child with this person that you're in love with, remember, this child was born out of love. And, you know, you want the best for this child. Do not involve the child in your problems. And for heaven's sake, in the name of anything you believe, don't bring your problems to the field. Don't act out. Don't act like you hate each other in front of other parents or the kids' teammates. Trust me, that's only going to hurt your child. And if you're spending all this time, effort, and energy to try to enhance your child's skills, the best skills he'll learn is you modeling how you can come to an agreement with your ex-spouse, even if you have to swallow it. You know, it's not your...
You know, it's a huge problem, man. You know, it's such a... Nancy, give us the best place to find out about you, your books.
Okay.
What's the best place? Google you. What's my website?
Best is my website, Nancy Perpall, PERPALL.com. I have blogs about this. I have blogs about marriage, pre-marriage, first families, what a first child brings into a relationship. And my book, Around Which All Things Bend, is getting rave reviews on Amazon. I highly recommend it. Although it's really sort of more like a chick book, a lot of men are reading it, and they really like the sex scenes.
So Nancy Perpall, PERPALL.com, right?
Tom, that's right.
Right. Hold on, Nancy. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctor Is In segment. We preview some upcoming guests. We add some Bob Guide of Wisdom, answer a few emails, brag about my book, hashtag Sports Parents. Quick shout out to the Bruce Merrin Celebrity Speakers.com. Bruce represented Elvis Presley, his first sports people with Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, and eventually he's going to book me. Great guest coming up, Chris Gandy next week. Chris is a former Chicago Bull Olympian, and he's a financial man in this world, and is going to talk about some of these challenges for parents, post-professional athletes. Then Debbie Peterson was a California city mayor, and we want to talk with her about some of the methods and abilities to change some things, even locally, in the world of school sports safety. following week, the speed doctor returns, Robert Esme, Canadian Olympian. Then Dr. Kellyanne Peterson, she is a family coach. She's experienced parenting a son who has dealt with some CTE situations in the world of concussions. So we've got some great stuff coming up. You know, Bob Guida talked so much about strengthening the brakes, depending on what sport the athlete played, whether they were jumping up and down on a basketball court. And he wanted to really, really strengthen the areas of the body, the muscles, the tendons that allowed you to land softly, allowed you to land with balance and stability. Whether you were a volleyball player who's swinging your shoulder 1,000 times a week, spiking that ball, and he really wanted to pay attention to strengthening everything in the upper shoulder, the back, the neck, to control that explosive force, or the baseball player swinging that bat with such force and strengthening the opposites, the brakes that stabilize. Great way. You think about surgical tubing and rubber bands. When you stretch that band, it takes strength to stretch that band. But when you hold it in place, you bring it back softly. They call it the eccentric strengthening of these areas. Was one of his many geniuses. I have a couple of emails here. Aaron says, my son is 12 years old. He's played soccer since he's five. He's on one traveling team. He's been dealing with some heel problems. This is the second season. Aaron, one of the largest growth centers in the foot is in the heel. It's very active at his age. It can be aggravated more easily than sometimes we think with any running, jumping activities. Spikes with cleats underneath the heel, which are famous in soccer, are an aggravator. So what you want to do is get into a multi-nubbed shoe that doesn't have a cluster of cleats right underneath that heel. If it's been persistent, you really want to pay attention to foot mechanics. I have used orthotics for decades with 100% success with these chronic growth center inflammations of the heel, whatever the sport is. So you want to include podiatry in who's paying attention to your son. So you could be paying attention to what's the best shoe to be in. You could identify whether he's dealing with this growth center problem. You have to include intelligent rest. You can't push through this. It ends up hanging on you. And when we're dealing with traveling teams and we're dealing with year-round playing, we can have a problem. Again, the pearl, the good news, great success with orthotics when foot mechanics. Imagine that pronated or flattening foot, which has got excessive shearing force under the heel because of the foot mechanics itself. So sometimes we'll see that that athlete can aggravate the growth center, jumping downstairs, landing wrong. But when it's perpetuated or recurrent, we start to see the high arch foot, which might be hitting the ground like a brick. Pay attention. Jimmy says, you know, your former colleague, Dr. Jim Vickery, Dr. Jim Vickery, should rest in peace, shared the radio show with me in the 90s. Jim was a sports psychologist. Back then, even in the 80s with Northwestern University, did some work with the White Sox, he didn't even use the word psychology in his title because it scared coaches, parents. What's wrong? You know, psychologist. He called himself a performance enhancement consultant. I love that title. And he had some great hints for sports parents that he really, really paid attention to. You know, Jim went with me. We used to do Little League lectures. My son Adam played Little League baseball. So does his son. They played soccer. And we would have little get-togethers with the parents, with the coaches. I might talk about, again, whether we needed ice packs. What did you want in your safety kit on the sidelines? What about shoes, et cetera, et cetera? And Jim would talk about the mental side. Now I label the mental game. I'm a sports doctor. And he'd say, you know, sports parents, don't be a critic. don't be analyzing your son or daughter's performance on the ride home. You'd be amazed how negative this is. Much better, he'd say, to be a good listener, to be able to share your son or daughter's experiences by listening to what their perspective is. You also want to be a good listener regarding, are they hurting? Today, with the pressure with youth sports, where we have youngsters 12, 13, 14 years old lying to their parents or coaches that their shins aren't hurting them anymore or their arches aren't bothering them or their knees because they don't want to be sat on the bench or they don't want to not make the team. And the higher level we go, the more these pressures multiply, where a lot of times communication again becomes so important. Don't be afraid, Dr. Vickery would say, to communicate with your young athletes' coaches in a positive way in order to share perspectives, how's it going, et cetera. You know, Jim would talk so much about parental behavior. He'd make such a big deal about the overzealous yelling parents on the sidelines and that we still have it and that it's still such a big problem with the overzealous coaches. In my book, Hashtag A Sports Parents, I call these coaches Svengali coaches, just overbearing, so much pressure, abusive. And you want to be aware of any of that going on, let alone in one sport after another with our young female athletes, the sexual abuse side of things. Gymnastics, we're all very familiar with. Last year, it was exposed in the world of female soccer. My first guest, Kimberly Archery, was talking about cheerleading, all of a sudden, a topic in the world of litigation. So sports parents, don't be a critic. Enjoy your lucky time you have with your son or daughter's sports and be a good listener and back off the pressure. Happy New Year, everybody. Catch you next week on The Sports Doctor. Thank you.